The history of math is our intellectual foundation to understanding science. Science, beautiful, awesome, wonderful science. It's the creative foundation to our ineffable future. I'm Gabrielle Burchak, and this is my podcast, Math, Science, History. In the year 415, the infamous philosopher and mathematician Hypatia of Alexandria, Egypt, was savagely murdered by church monks. This murder shocked the Roman community and its government leaders. Hypatia was known far and wide as a respected philosopher, mathematician, government advisor, and a professor. Hypatia, The Sum of Her Life, is a book that I wrote that looks not just at the circumstances surrounding her death, but also at the sum of her entire life. I weave in the details of her education, disciples, Neoplatonic philosophies, female contemporaries, and the many mathematics that she wrote and taught about. There is truly more to Hypatia's life than her death. Hypatia, The Sum of Her Life, written by me, Gabrielle Burchak, is now on sale on Amazon. Buy your copy today. The square of the hypotenuse equals a squared plus b squared, which, as many of us know, is the Pythagorean theorem. In a few of my previous podcasts, I briefly mentioned the Pythagorean theorem and how it is not the creation of Pythagoras. There is a legend that Pythagoras was so proud of discovering this theory that, according to Proclus's commentary on Euclid's proof, he writes that, quote, "If we listen to those who like to record antiquities, we shall find them attributing this theorem to Pythagoras and saying that he sacrificed an ox upon its discovery," unquote. However, that is just a legend. Pythagoras did not discover this theorem, and there is tangible evidence to prove that this theorem existed at least 1,000 years before Pythagoras was even born. This evidence includes three ancient cuneiform tablets. The first one is called YBC 7289, and it dates to between 1800 and 1600 BCE. It was most likely found in southern Iraq. The tablet, YBC 7289, was determined to have been created by a student. The YBC, which is now on display at Yale University's Institute for the Preservation of Cultural Heritage, indicates four adjacent triangles and etchings that show numerical proof of the Pythagorean theorem. The YBC 7289 shows the Pythagorean theorem using an isosceles triangle to define the square root of 2 utilizing the sexagesimal system, which is working in base 60. An isosceles triangle, specifically a right triangle, has two sides of equal length, such that the units are measured one by one by the square root of 2. Etched and carved, it looks like a quartered square in a series of chips. However, it is one of our oldest introductions into the infamous a squared plus b squared equals c squared, which shows that the square of the two shorter sides of a right triangle, when added together, equals the square of the hypotenuse. For a visual of the mathematics that go with the YBC 7289, you can find a breakdown of the mathematics at my website at mathsciencehistory.com, or you can even find it at medium.com. If you are a member, you can read it for free. The next tablet is labeled SI 427. This little tablet was excavated in 1894 by the French expedition at Tel Abu Haba in Syria. It was then preserved and archived at the Istanbul Archaeological Museum. However, this little tablet didn't become famous until 2021 when David Mansfield, an Australian professor and mathematician, determined the purpose of this cuneiform tablet. This tablet shows a series of triangles and rectangles which represent a schematic diagram of a field. According to Dr. Mansfield, quote, "It's the only known example of a cadastral document from the old Babylonian period, which is a plan used by surveyors to define land boundaries. In this case, it tells us legal and geometric details about a field that split after some of it was sold off," unquote. So this tablet utilizes Pythagorean triples to distinguish measurements of the land boundaries, which leads us to the final cuneiform tablet known as the Plimpton 322. The Plimpton 322 dates to 1800 BCE. This tablet shows etchings that indicate a theoretical knowledge of the theorem because it includes a series of Pythagorean triples. It's not a large tablet. It's about the size of a cell phone, with the specific dimensions being about 12.7 centimeters by 8.8 centimeters. So it's relatively small. In the late 19th century, an antiquities dealer and archaeologist, Edgar Banks, purchased hundreds of cuneiform tablets in southeastern Europe as the Ottoman Empire was ending. He then sold these tablets to museums and collectors around the world. Well, New York publisher George Arthur Plimpton purchased the Plimpton 322 from Banks for only $10. The tablet remained in Plimpton's personal possession until shortly before he died in 1936, upon which it was donated to Columbia University. This tablet consists of 15 Pythagorean triples. And what's most impressive about this tablet is that it is small with many etchings, because all these Pythagorean triples were etched in base 60. This base 60 means that instead of using the values that refer to base 10, which we use now in our decimal system, ancient Mesopotamians utilized the value of base 60 as a base unit, as I've noted before. For a further explanation of base 60 also, you can refer to my podcast on the sexagesimal spiral. Gotta make a plug there. Anyhow, back to the Pythagorean triple. The Pythagorean triple is a set of three positive integers that serve to solve the equation a squared plus b squared equals c squared. Okay, so we've already established that. So moving forward, the most common Pythagorean triple includes the values 3, 4, 5. When applied to the equation where a equals 3, b equals 4, and c equals 5, we get 3 squared plus 4 squared equals 5 squared, which leads to 9 plus 16 equals 25. Pretty straightforward. But there are a multitude of other Pythagorean triples as well. Furthermore, they are not necessarily multiples of the values 3, 4, and 5. They are reduced triples, which means that they have no common factors. In other words, we can't just multiply 3, 4, 5 by a value to get another triple. Instead, each of the values in that Pythagorean triple has no common divisor that is larger than the value of 1. This type of triple is known as a primitive Pythagorean triple. Other Pythagorean triples include the values 5, 12, and 13. Another triple includes the values 7, 24, and 25. And another Pythagorean triple includes the values 8, 15, 17. So if you take these values and plug them in for A, B, and C, you will find that the square root of the first two values equals the square root of the third value. It's really cool. But the fact that there is a list of Pythagorean triples gives us insight that there had been extensive analysis on the Pythagorean theorem, which was not named the Pythagorean theorem at this time. These triples show that mathematicians had been studying this mathematical equation and trying out a variety of numbers to see if this particular equation was true. Many other tablets also show us how the Pythagorean theorem was applied over 1,000 years before Pythagoras became the acclaimed academic to have, quote, discovered it. There is the IM67118, which is also referred to as the DB146. It is a Babylonian clay tablet that dates to 1770 BCE. The IM67118 contains text, a diagram, and aids to determine the area of a rectangle and the length of its diagonal. The text describes the last section of the solution using the Pythagorean theorem. So now that we've established that Pythagoras possibly had nothing to do with this equation, where did this equation come from? Well, let's first look at the works that hail Pythagoras as the genius behind this equation. Okay, Pythagoras was born around 570 BCE, over 1,000 years after the theorem had been etched into the cuneiform tablets. His teachings come to us from extracts of works copied from Eudemus of Rhodes, Philolaus of Crotona, and Archivus of Tarentum, Italy. Historians of older works state that Pythagoras was born in Italy and migrated migrated with his father to Samos. Some ancient writers, such as Herodotus and Isocrates, note in their writings that Pythagoras traveled to Egypt. Additionally, the ancient writer Aristoxenes wrote that Pythagoras left Samos around 535 BCE. Thus, we can gather that he traveled to the east and possibly even spent some time in the Orient, including India. After his years of travel, he settled on the southeastern coast of Italy in Crotona, where he began teaching philosophy and mathematics. Like many other philosophers of his time and professors of our time, his works were written down with the help of his students. Additionally, other academics around this time wrote about Pythagoras, including Aristoxenes and Iamblichus, who I mentioned in my podcast about Hypatia. Interestingly, the one philosopher who lived near the closest time of Pythagoras is Plato, and Plato only mentioned him once in his writings. So, to my point, Pythagoras traveled and was a prominent philosopher, but he is not the original source of the Pythagorean theorem. What is notable is that this theorem was also present in India around the 8th century BCE in a Vedic Sanskrit text called the Sulba Sutra, written by Bhadhayana. Bhadhayana was most likely a Vedic Hindu scholar who lived in India and wrote several Sanskrit texts that encompassed Dharma, daily activity and rituals, and mathematics. Bhadhayana wrote several Sanskrit texts, but the one that included a variation of the Pythagorean theorem was the Sulba Sutra. Though Bhadhayana was possibly one of the first in India to write about this equation 300 years before Pythagoras was born, other Vedic priests also wrote about this equation after Bhadhayana. Also, this theorem is known in China as Gaogu. The story goes is that when the mythical deity, the Yellow Emperor, known as Huangdi, reigned around 2600 BCE, he charged his minister, Li Shu, with the responsibility of compiling a body of work called the Zhu Zheng Xuanshu, which translates to the 9 chapters on mathematical art. In this work, the Gaogu is explained such that, quote, in the right triangle, the sum of the squares of the two right sides is equal to the square of the hypotenuse, unquote. The Pythagorean theorem. So in this text, the labels for A, B, and C are such that A represents Gao, B represents Gu, and C represents Xian. Though this story is based on a deity and steeped in fable, there is some truth in that this equation, this theorem, had been around long before Pythagoras and had been in existence in other areas around Mesopotamia. Possibly, India's Bhadhayana received the knowledge of this mathematical application through oral tradition. Some scholars propose that this theorem was passed down through oral tradition as early as 2000 BCE. So now we're looking at the possibility that this equation and this theorem is 1500 years older than Pythagoras. So it could be much older than we initially thought. Not only that, but this insight allows us to see a possible evolutionary connection between India, China, and Mesopotamia. In addition to the analysis of our DNA, this revelation aids us in evaluating how our ancestors migrated around the world. It's also a perception that shows us the power of sharing knowledge and how some of our most perceptive ancestors shared these brilliant ideas as they migrated around the world. This revelation always brings me back to what I have said since my very first podcast, that we are all mathematicians, and that it has been in our minds and insights for thousands and thousands of years. This perception is rather exciting because it shows us that our ancient ancestors were capable of deep, intellectual, mathematical thought founded on the idea of sharing knowledge. These cuneiform tablets and our revelations about them are evidence that we are all capable of so much more knowledge than we think we are capable of. We are also capable of many more advancements than we allow ourselves to accomplish. And I'm not just talking about progress in math and science. I'm also talking about evolutions toward a peaceful world, because I think we're all capable of that too. Until next time, carpe diem. Thank you for joining me at Math Science History. Please remember to subscribe to the show. Also, if you could leave a rating or a review, it would be so appreciated. Those ratings and reviews really help to increase my listenership. If you want to learn more about the history of math and science, please visit me at mathsciencehistory.com. And if you like what you're listening to, please feel free to click on that cup of coffee image and buy me a cup of coffee, or two, or three, or four. Because every cup of coffee that you buy helps me to pay for the expenses that go into making this podcast. Also, if you're interested in leaving me a comment or chatting with me, you can always find me on your preferred social media platform, including Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Goodreads. Just search for Gabrielle Burchak. Until next time, carpe diem!